You're listening to Decisive Point. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the authors and are not necessarily those of the Department of the Army, the U.S. Army War College, or any other agency of the U.S. government. Christina Lai is joining me to talk about her article, U.S.-Taiwan Relations in the Future of the Liberal Order, which was published in the spring 2024 issue of Parameters. Lai is an associate research fellow in the Institute of Political Science at Academia Sinica, Taiwan. She's also an adjunct faculty member in global security studies at Johns Hopkins University. Welcome to Decisive Point, Christina. Your article disagrees with conventional scholarship about Taiwan. What is the current perspective on the liberal international order?
The United States and its Western ally jointly set up international institutions after the World War II, and these were supported by liberal ideas such as democracy, free market, and the rule of law. However, the United States' effort to uphold the liberal international order has encountered increasing challenges from authoritarian countries such as China and Russia, as they often pick and choose among the existing rule to their advantage. In the context of China-Taiwan relations, a realist perspective might argue that China, with its rising capability, would try to take control over Taiwan and exert greater influence in Asia. And therefore, some political analysis hold a rather pessimistic view that Taiwan's autonomy and security would deteriorate significantly, even with the help from the United States. This is certainly one of the possible scenarios given the intense power competition between the United States and China. But even though the liberal international order has fostered unprecedented cooperation among states in Europe, East Asia, and North America, this concept remains a highly contested one in international relations. And my work here offers a common understanding of the liberal international order. States and non-state actors follow rules and norms and legal procedures in conducting international affairs. And the rule-based aspect is an essential part of the Asian regional order. And the future of Taiwan also depends on the resilience of liberal international order and other middle power states in the Asia-Pacific. While liberalists are confident that a liberal international order will remain strong, even following the relative decline from the U.S., some have questioned whether the liberal international order was ever liberal at all. And still others suggest that the new forums or alternative institutional setting might emerge to regulate economic affairs and global politics. So despite their contested meaning, my work was centered on the fundamental elements that underpin the current U.S.-led liberal international order. They are democracy, free trade, and international institutions. It also highlights how Taiwan can significantly contribute to the durability of the liberal international order. And China's rise in the 21st century has posed both challenge and opportunity for the United States and the liberal international order. And scholars and policymakers have engaged in heated debates over the nature of the liberal international orders. And in addition, Beijing's economic coercion and military intimidation toward China, toward Taiwan, might make it the next flashpoint in Asia and leading to a possible conflict between the United States and China. For example, in 2021, U.S. Admiral Philip Davidson, the former head of the U.S. Indo-Pacific Command, claimed that within the next 6 years, China will have the capability to forcefully reunify with Taiwan, should they choose to force as a means to accomplish this. The risk of conflict between China and Taiwan and possibly involving other countries in Asia certainly cannot be easily ignored.
Where does Taiwan see itself in the liberal international order?
My works offers a normative perspective on how Taiwan can contribute to the U.S.-led liberal international order. Specifically, if Taiwan were integrated into the multilateral institution in Asia, then the chance of conflict would be greatly reduced. I will highlight three aspects: democracy, free trade, and multilateralism. Taiwan underwent a peaceful transition from authoritarian rule to a vibrant democracy in the 1990s, and it has also experienced peaceful transition of powers in its presidential elections. And over the last few years, Taiwanese people have developed a civic identity that embraced democratic governments, the rule of law, and open dialogue. For example, the Sunflower Movement in 2014 was one of the notable large-scale protests organized by college students, social activists, and NGOs. And this social movement was nonviolent in nature, and it demanded that the former president Ma Ying-jeou retract a controversial trade pact with China. And more recently, President Tsai Ing-wen has openly indicated that the resilience of Taiwan's democracy, progressive value, the rule of law, in the face of China's political and security challenge to the liberal democratic order. Also, in a recent statement, President Tsai said that he expected Taiwan can contribute more to regional trade and high-end research and educational exchange in the Indo-Pacific region. And starting in 2010, China's use of economic sanctions against its neighbor has led to economic loss for Japan, the Philippines, and South Korea. It also created increasing worry that China might apply this coercive measure more frequently in the case of maritime dispute or political friction that might gradually undermine Asian regional order. And meanwhile, Taiwan's trade reliance on China has made it export and service sectors vulnerable to China economic sanctions. The Taiwanese government, along with the agricultural or manufacturing industry, really need to diversify their trading partner to hedge against China's coercive measure. And as of now, Japan has assumed the leadership in negotiating the comprehensive and progressive agreement for the Trans-Pacific Partnership, so-called CPTPP. And this trade agreement might help Taiwan expand its market to other countries in the Asia-Pacific region. However, there are still challenges for Taiwan's membership in the CPTPP. For example, China also applied for membership, and Beijing might invoke its One China principle to delay Taiwan's entrance. So Japan, along with other middle powers in Asia, should seriously consider Taiwan's case prior to China's entry, as a qualification of this trade pact should prioritize economic merits and less so on diplomatic recognition. And Taiwan's membership in the CPTPP can greatly enhance the resilience against China economic coercion and uphold a higher standard for regional trade agreement. And more recently, the U.S. Secretary of the Treasury, Janet Yellen, proposed the idea of friendshoring to address the trade vulnerability amid the increasing geopolitical rivalry. And Yellen has called for countries that share common value about global trade and economy to work together in competition with China's unfair trade practice. Although she was referring to the critical idea of diversifying the supply chain of rare earth material, Taiwan's diversification of its trade policy and its developments of advanced technology could help the U.S. and others to reduce economic reliance on China. For example, the Taiwanese government and the semiconductor industry are well-positioned to contribute to a resilience of global supply chain for computer chips and paving the way for greater economic stability. And as Beijing has constantly blocked Taiwan from joining international organizations, Taiwan's official participation in regional institutions has been quite limited. However, Taiwan's unique political status does not mean that it cannot participate in regional affairs in multilateral manners. In 2016, the Tsai administration launched a new southbound policy that promotes people-to-people exchange, in investment partnership, and informal dialogue towards Southeast Asian countries. So the non-political nature of the new southbound policy circumvented the issue of Taiwan's official representation. And therefore, the Taiwanese government, along with the NGO and university in Taiwan, can develop educational programs with local governments and schools in India and Southeast Asian countries. So that is to say, this bottom-up approach to regional engagements is multilateral in nature and aiming at deepening economic and cultural ties with people in Southeast Asia. So as of now, democratic consolidation, promoting free trade, and implementing people-centered democracy are the key features of Taiwan's agenda. However, these measures are not a sustainable path for Taiwan when faced with intense geopolitical competition between China and the United States. Taiwan would be an underappreciated asset for the United States if it were to reinvigorate the liberal international order in Asia and beyond.
What's your recommendation for the United States and its current political arrangement with Taiwan?
Ever since the United States normalized diplomatic relations with China, it has maintained informal ties with Taiwan. So U.S.-Taiwan relations began to be regulated by the Taiwan Relations Act. It is a piece of domestic legislation in the U.S. However, the bilateral relations between the U.S. and Taiwan, including bills, informal contacts, and arms sale, might not be sufficient to address China's territorial expansions in Asia and its challenge to the liberal international order. So both the United States and Taiwanese government should work closely together to develop greater deterrence capability to address China's assertiveness and provocation. The military developments is only one part of the solution. And even more urgent but often neglected aspect is how the United States strengthens the rule-based order and promotes Taiwan's substantive participation in international organizations. So my works identify major issues related to Taiwan's security and economic development, and it provides an in-depth analysis to inform future U.S. foreign policy in the Indo-Pacific region. And specifically, the United States needs to take more concrete steps to secure and elevate its bilateral relations with Taiwan. First, Taiwan can be included as a dialogue partner for the Quadrilateral Security Dialogue, Quad, and the Indo-Pacific Economic Framework, IPEF, and later join different working groups on this critical issue in the Indo-Pacific region. For example, the Quad has expanded its scope to address emerging technology and COVID-19 vaccine and humanitarian assistance. And the Taiwanese government can certainly share its expertise and knowledge on semiconductors and public health. And similarly, Taiwan's high-end technology industry and the increasing trade volume with Asian countries can advance the four pillars of the IPEF. They are connected, resilient, clean, and fair economy. In terms of the regional security, the defense tie between the U.S. and Taiwan should not be just about high-profile arms sale, but they should also consider establishing a routinized mechanism for addressing security threat to Taiwan, such as economic coercion, cyber attacks, and information warfare. This regularly held dialogue can turn into a joint review on Taiwan's capability, in which both sides can ensure greater collaboration on critical issues. In addition, the U.S. government can draft a white paper elaborating the legal foundation for Taiwan's participation in the U.S.-led framework, such as the Quad Plus, IPEF, and AUKUS Plus partners. And these official statements should also make it clear that how this inclusion is consistent with the U.S. policy in Asia. And admittedly, the Biden administration has maintained a principle of strategic ambiguity. And this initiative listed above will require significant change of U.S. policy rhetoric. Nevertheless, the implementation of Taiwan's meaningful participation in international affairs would certainly fail to deliver its intended effect unless the U.S. government demonstrates political support or bureaucratic buy-in and legislative backing as an explicit signal to a U.S. ally in the Indo-Pacific. And these policy measures have not only seek to enhance U.S.-Taiwan relations, but also improve Taiwan's presence in countering Beijing's effort to undermine Taiwan's diplomatic space.
Explain the U.S.-Taiwan-China triangle and policy implications for the Taiwanese government.
A stronger China might be more assertive in claiming Taiwan as part of its territory. And Beijing believes that it is entitled to govern Taiwan under the principle of non-intervention. As a result, Taiwan's legal status or political recognition cannot be easily established, given that China has devoted considerable effort to isolate Taiwan internationally. This does not mean that U.S. allies and partners in Asia and Europe can do nothing about it. the United States can prioritize its Taiwan policy with newly established institutions such as the Quad, IPEF, and AUKUS to ensure Taiwan's meaningful participation in regional affairs. And according to a recent survey, more than half of the American respondents favor defending Taiwan if China attempted to occupy it forcefully. And the general public might be more aware of China's territorial ambition over Taiwan, but they also prefer a range of U.S. policy in support of Taiwan's security. Therefore, promoting Taiwan's substantive participation in the U.S.-led regional frameworks and maintaining the military deterrence against Beijing threats may not be mutually exclusive. And more importantly, embedding Taiwan in the regional networks can increase the state of attack by Beijing, and therefore ease the tension between China and Taiwan. And moving from bilateralism to multilateral engagement is both a feasible and desirable path for the United States to follow in defending Taiwan and maintaining the liberal international order in Asia.
Christina, thank you so much for making time to speak with me today.
I really like to thank you for hosting this podcast. It's certainly my pleasure to share my works on Taiwan's contribution to liberal order and the future of U.S.-Taiwan relations.
Listeners, you can read the article at press.armywarcollege.edu/parameters. Look for Volume 54, Issue 1. For more War College podcasts about similar topics, check out Conversations on Strategy, SSI Live, and A Better Peace. If you enjoyed this episode of Decisive Point and would like to hear more, you can find us on any major podcast platform.